Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Armchair GMs. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino, and I'm alongside the one and only, the Mel Kiper himself, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how are we doing today?
That's disrespectful to Mel Kiper, but, you know, you said it, so I'm gonna roll with it.
I mean, I've seen your draft history. It's better than Mel Kiper.
Tommy, I'm extremely excited for today. It's my favorite part of the off season in 2 weeks. Well, this week, next week, yeah, 2 weeks. The draft.
That's right.
The NFL draft. We get to see a bunch of people our age, a bunch of guys our age, take the next step in their dream of becoming NFL superstars. And it is fantastic. And I love seeing Roger Goodell get booed. People think it's cringy. I think it's one of the best parts of every draft, seeing all the commissioners get booed. And I'm extremely excited, Tommy. Extremely excited.
It's always a wonderful night. You know, the first draft, I think it was with you, was 2020. With, 2021? Yeah.
No,
with
Trey Lance
and all them.
No, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster of a night. I'll tell you that. There were some highs and there were some lows. It was more so highs for you at the time. I was pretty low, but I'm coming up now, but it's all right. the draft, it's always a fun night. And like you said, Roger Goodell getting booed. It's like the only commissioner that doesn't get booed is NBA, Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Other than that, like I talked to Deb, and apparently it happens in hockey all the time too. Probably in I don't watch the baseball draft. Do they even televise it?
Well, they do. I just don't think a lot of people watch it. It's hard. That's on like MLB Network. It's hard for hockey and MLB, you know, because you see these guys get drafted and you might not see them for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what
or
I mean?
Ever.
Yeah, or ever, exactly. Yeah. Shout out to Jay Groom. but NFL, you know, those guys are going to be on the starting roster. And you know, these first couple picks, you know, they're going to be very prominent parts of that roster.
Yeah, I mean, they're always, unless you're Jamarcus Russell, they're always up there on the
Fair
squad.
Enough.
But before we get into the mock drafts, two, I don't want to say headlines, but news since we last were on here. Odell Beckham, he ended up signing with the Ravens, $18 million, I believe, for 1 year. And he gave the Jets an option to match it. They didn't match it, so he went to Baltimore. How important is that, do you think, for Baltimore?
Well, it's an overpay. It's probably double what he's worth at this point. It's $15 million guaranteed, which is just a ridiculous amount. You're paying him like a one when Odell is not a one anymore. And that's not a slight against Odell. Saying Odell is not a one does not mean he's not good. I think Odell is still a fine NFL wide receiver. He's just probably a better two. He would be an elite three, and that's probably where he should be looking to go. But what I will tell you is this is fantastic news for Lamar Jackson. Like, for Baltimore fans to relax. Lamar was heavily involved in the process to get Odell, at least that's what the reports have said. So that tells me that Lamar is at least thinking about if he doesn't get traded, if they don't come to a contract, he'll play on the tag. That's what that signals to me. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get a contract done. I don't think getting Odell moves the needle towards getting a contract done, because I've heard that they haven't even got back to the table, really. But nothing really has to happen until after the draft anyway. We've discussed that.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum. But this at least tells me that he might be willing to play on the tag. So,
which I think if you're Baltimore right now, that's all you want, because then you can have more discussions throughout the next regular season for an extension.
Yep.
I think that's you summed up everything really in that one. The next one, Saquon Barkley, he hasn't signed. I don't think he intends to sign the tag at all. He wants a new deal in New York. Personally, do you think the Giants should have paid him over Daniel Jones first, or do you think they made the right move signing Daniel Jones first and then tagging Saquon Barkley?
I thought the whole offseason plan was a disaster from the get-go. You know how I am about running backs, and I guess it's the popular thing, and I guess I'm just following the trend, but it makes too much sense to me. You don't want to pay that guy that second contract. It's just such an expendable position.
Yeah,
Saquon Barkley is an all-world talent, all-generational talent. We know what the brother can do when he put the ball in his hands. I understand all that. It's just, he's got the injury history. He's one hit away from never being the same again, you know? Daniel Jones, I don't think he was worth the money he got either, but I'd rather pay Daniel Jones what he got, to be honest, because it's only like a $19 million cap hit this year. Then, and I'm just saying the two-year part of it, right? Not the now 4 years, yeah. $60 million is insane. But for it's pretty much a two-year contract to see what he can do. That's fine in my eyes. I mean, it was a mess up, but at least it's like, okay, at least we're not anchored to this guy for 4 years. Saquon, if I'm Saquon, I understand it. You don't want to play under the tag because this is really going to be your last opportunity to get a good contract as a running back. But that's just kind of with the way the market is. And I wouldn't be against paying Saquon if it was like a two-year deal, maybe a three-year deal. Probably like two is probably where I'm comfortable with. But it's like, what's the tag worth? Like $11 million? So do you come to the table and say 2 years, 25? Yeah. And if he doesn't want that, then, I mean, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that I would have tried to get that if I was Saquon. I feel like Saquon, he probably offered 4 years out of the gate, something like that. I think that two-year deal would have been perfect for both sides because then it's, you know, Saquon's still getting his money. He's still getting around $12 million a year. Like you said, it's an expendable position. But honestly, last year, I feel like a two-year, $24 million deal, I think he earned that after what he did for that offense the whole year.
And you got to think about it in terms of with the running back market. Yeah. He's looking at Zeke and what Zeke got. And that contract, you can say what you want about that contract for the Cowboys. I don't think it paid off. Now, in terms of like merch and Zeke being Zeke, sure, they got their money back probably. But in terms of on-field production, he wasn't worth that contract.
Yeah.
Yet. Nowhere near, especially at the end. Now, Christian McCaffrey's getting paid like $16 million or something a year, and he's like the highest paid running back. If Saquon wants that, you go to use $32 million. Yeah. I don't know if he will. Like, what teams would really get Saquon? Maybe the Chiefs, but I don't see the Chiefs paying up for a running back. Or the Bills, maybe, but they just signed Damian Harris. You see all these teams that needed running backs, you know, the Carolinas, the Detroits, the Chicagos, the Philadelphias. They all went cheap because this draft is weaker for sure, but there's good depth. It in terms of elite upside, like talented players, sure, it falls off a cliff very early. But the running back position has a lot of running backs that are going to be good in committees at least. Very talented guys that they're good in their specialty roles, you know? So it's hard to want to pay Saquon $15, $16 million a year. Again, all generational talent. We know what he can do with the ball in his hands. When I could get the same production from two or three different guys for $4 million a year combined. So, I mean, him not playing on the tag makes perfect sense to me from his perspective.
Yeah.
The Giants not wanting to give him a contract makes perfect sense to me from their perspective. That's just how the NFL is right now.
Yeah, and some of these higher-end running backs you might be seeing moves, I think, within the next year or two. You know, Eckler, he wants out. He kind of does want out now in Chargers. So I think that's another place that kind of makes sense for him, depending on the right situation. I think you're going to see Joe Mixon. I think he's going to be moved by the end of next offseason. So, like you said, though, it's very hard it's a lot of running back by committee. And after the Gurley contract, a lot of teams, Gurley and Zeke, they just realized the legs don't hold up with how the game's played today. So yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You even look at McCaffrey. You know, the year after he signed his deal, I mean, he starts getting injured all the time and, you know, knock on wood for the Niners. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it's just a very finicky position. And it sucks that, you know, again, I don't know anything about playing football at any level, but you can see it. The best athletes get funneled to the running back position.
Yeah.
At every level. If you're the fastest kid when you're 7 years old, you're playing running back. If you're the fastest kid when you're, you know, 14, 15, you're playing running back. Like, if you're the most athletic, you're going to play running back. Then you get to the NFL, and they're going to tell you, you're not worth it. And that's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't agree with saying that paying a running back is detrimental if it's the right running back. I think Christian McCaffrey is worth every penny to the 49ers. I think Saquon would be worth every penny to the Giants even. So I think you can win by paying a running back. It's just, I understand the rhetoric behind it. Like, it's just a very expendable position, so I understand it. But I don't think it's a terrible thing to pay one, as long as it's reasonable.
It is what it is at this time, though. But we got to get into what this episode's all about now. It's going to be first and only mock draft for us this season. Picks 1 through 16. And, you know, this is a talented class, I think. There's some studs in here. There might be some duds as well. But I don't know. These first 10 picks, I think, could be pretty exciting. Because I still think it's up in the air who goes where.
Yeah, I think that this draft is going to be the most exciting draft in a minute in terms of viewer experience. Yeah. Because we really don't know who's going one yet. You know, we've heard Houston's out on quarterbacks, or, you know, if it's not Bryce Young, they might take Will Anderson or whatever. So it's going to be a very exciting draft. We hear the Cardinals want to trade, and I'm right there with you. The first 10 or 11 picks or so could be very exciting.
I think it's time to get into it. I'll have you start off because you did some great write-ups, and I want you to just kick it off with some of these player comps and everything.
Well, Carolina's been on the clock since they made the trade for the 101. Everyone knows that trade. They traded DJ Moore and some future picks. And the odds just shot up on this guy to go 101. It was CJ Stroud for the longest time. I was a big believer that it was going to be CJ Stroud. We keep hearing Bryce Young, Bryce Young, Bryce Young. And Tommy, I got to tell you, I think it's going to be Bryce Young at 101 to Carolina. This kid had 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He had 3,300 yards, 8.8 yards per any attempt, and 163.2 rating. I mean, just a fantastic season. I watched a lot of Alabama games. He didn't have the most talented team out of Tua, Mac Jones, even Jalen Hurts. He didn't have the most talented team. This kid won a Heisman. I think people forget that. He won a Heisman. Yeah. Last year, he didn't have that great of an offense. Really, it was Jahmyr Gibbs and him just making everything happen. And he was fantastic. Tommy, the thing that sets him apart to any quarterback in this class is his pre- and post-snap processing. He is probably the most pro-ready quarterback up here. And mentally, he's got it all. Pre-post-snap is elite. He's uber creative playmaking-wise. Supreme pocket awareness. He has a great feel for pressure. He has a great feel of where it's coming from. He can step up, slide, do everything. He's really good at communicating with his offensive line, where to slide to protection. They put a lot on his plate, Bill O'Brien did, and he handled it well. The only concerns is his size. I mean, that's it. If he was 6'3", we wouldn't be having this conversation. He would be the clear 101. He would have been decided a long time ago. And maybe the Bears don't even trade the pick. You know, maybe they take him and trade Justin Fields. And I got a player comp for you. It's Tony Romo with Dr. Strange level anticipation. This kid can see the future on the field. He has the best anticipation of any quarterback in this draft class. Some of the best that we've seen come out recently. He knows where the receiver is going to be before the receiver knows where he's going to be. And he knows when to throw it before the breaks on the routes are even happening. He's fantastic.
I mean, he had some really good – I didn't watch a lot of him at Alabama just because I don't watch a lot of college football live. He looked amazing, though, in some of those Alabama games. Just when it was time for them to get down the field and need that touchdown or need that field goal, it seemed like he did it every time. So I think the kid's going to be really good. I went a different direction. I went Stroud with this one. I think Stroud still could go number one because I think he's really well-liked by the Carolina coaching staff. You know, the Panthers need that stability at quarterback for years now. I think they realize it's important that they go out and get one of those top guys in the first pick. And I think Stroud's been their favorite all along. And if you look back at, like, some of the quarterbacks that Frank Wright has coached, he likes some big, tall, pocket-passing quarterbacks. It kind of just fits the C.J. Stroud mold. And I just think that's why they go with him over Bryce Young. Either way, I think either one of them is going to be a good pick.
I absolutely agree with you on C.J. Stroud. I mean, I think he fits the mold of what Frank Reich's looking for. It's just we hear the ownership likes Bryce Young. We hear, you know, this section likes Bryce Young. This section likes C.J. Stroud. And Tommy, he doesn't have to wait long.
Mm-mm.
For me. He's coming off the board at 2 for me, CJ Stroud is. I've got a player comp for you for CJ Stroud to lead it in. A more polished Jared Goff means a sneaky athletic Dak Prescott. You said pocket passer. Perfect. This kid, smooth footwork. Butter smooth. Butter on roll smooth. Okay, he is in and out of the pocket like a smooth operator. Has a great feel for the 3-step drop. He's going to seamlessly go into an NFL pro style system and be perfect, I think. Pinpoint accuracy. He called himself this at the combine. Ball placement specialist. Like he's a 2K archetype. I mean, what is that? But it fits perfectly. That's what he does. He's a ball placement specialist. Great downfield vision. And I think he has the best feel for what open is out of any of the quarterbacks in this class. And what I mean, Tommy, it looks a little different. In college, open is butt booty naked. Running down the sidelines. The cornerback tripped. The NFL, if you got a step on a guy and you can reach your arm out,
that's open. Yeah.
And CJ Stroud knows that. And you can see all over his tape, he will fit throws into tight windows that he has no business throwing the ball into, and he'll do it. The concerns, really, again, I said Bryce Young, his concern is size and he tries to do too much. Really think about that. The guy is too good and his teammates are just not up to par and he's trying to do too much. CJ Stroud is the same thing. His downsides are not really downsides.
Yeah.
He doesn't use his legs much, which is fine. But he has the ability to do it. We saw it in the Georgia game. It was his best game he put on film. Hasn't made a lot of big off-script plays, which is going to be a concern for teams that want him to be able to get out of the pocket, make those plays. I understand that. His biggest downside is he can get rattled under pressure a little easily. But he'll, you know, that stuff you'll fix. And if he gets a good offensive line in front of him, you're not worried about that anyway. And another concern people have is he played with the best wide receiver group. Absolutely. Absolutely he did. It's not even a conversation. But like I said, you can go watch his film. He will fit those throws. And the ball placement on the corners, the back shoulder fades, everything is just exquisite. It's exquisite. 41 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He said it best. He's a ball placement specialist. He is a cold-blooded assassin. Coleridge Bernard C.J. Stroud III. Or the fourth, sorry. He's that guy.
I mean, him and Marvin Harrison Jr. They had some amazing plays last year at Ohio State. And I'm a Michigan fan. It was exciting to watch them. And even Marvin Harrison's a great receiver. But C.J. Stroud was fitting in some of those passes in the tightest windows, like he said. Like, he was getting these receivers NFL open, not college open, on most of these throws and hitting them. It's amazing to watch, I think, what he's capable of doing. It's just, like he said, he does get rattled a little bit. So, with an offensive line that might be shaky, you don't know how it's going to go. But for me, for Houston, since Stroud's already off the board, I'm just taking Bryce Young. I mean, it would just make the most sense. D'Amico Ryans kind of gets his guy that they can kind of train, and he's got that 6-year deal. And I think it'd make the most sense because next year, I don't think if they want to be in the position for some of those top QBs, if you know what I mean, I think it makes sense to get Young now instead of try to tank another year. We'll go. That's really much I got for Bryce Young in Houston. We'll go 3. Who do you got for the number 3 pick?
Well, Tommy, I was on the phones and I was really doing some legwork and I heard, I'm just playing. There's rumors all over Twitter that Cardinals are looking to trade this pick. They're looking to move somewhere up, down, side to side, electric slide, who knows. Tennessee's been very interested in the quarterback prospects. You can understand why. Ryan Tannehill kind of at the end of his lifespan. They don't have another quarterback on their roster that I'd be comfortable with because I think Malik Willis is just really not that guy. I hate to call people bust after the first season, but he just didn't really show a whole lot. So I have the Tennessee Titans trading up to the number 3 overall pick with the Cardinals. They're going to receive the number 3. The Cardinals are going to get 11, 72, and a 24 first. It's a very similar deal to what the 49ers did with
Trey Lance.
To get Trey Lance, yeah. And, you know, Rand Carthon, he's from that building, so he does something similar. I have them taking a quarterback. It's Will Levis. I've heard they love Levis. This is, I guess this is my only prediction pick. Most of these picks are what I would do if I was that team. This is a prediction pick because I'm taking Anthony Richardson here from Tennessee. But I've heard that Mike Vrabel met with Will Levis on his own. I've heard they've had many meetings with him. They love him. So they go Will Levis. 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 2,400 yards, and 151.9 rating. Very shaky season, to be honest. He's Blake Bortles with strong shades of Ryan Tannehill. That'd be my player comp for him. That's not a bad thing. Now, people are going to hear that and say, I'm throwing shades at him. I'm not. Blake Bortles was an excellent prospect. Like, a very decent, good, strong, good arm strength, was mobile. Ryan Tannehill, kind of the same thing. It fits. Go watch Will Levis. It fits. But his traits, excellent arm strength, decent footwork. He's not a lost puppy out there, okay? You're not going to have to – he's got the training wheels off to a certain extent when it comes to dropbacks and being an NFL quarterback. Athletic enough to run options, and he's big and strong. He's the prototypical quarterback. Now, his concerns, Tommy, they are concerning. Woefully inconsistent, head-scratching decision-making, and he's very streaky with his accuracy. It was like watching me play Madden. Sometimes I'm completing 95% of my passes, I'm shredding the person I'm playing, and the next time I'm completing 15% of my passes, I'm throwing Hail Marys in the second quarter. That's pretty much what it is looking at his film. When he's hot, it's a beautiful thing. He can make all the throws because he has the arm strength to do it. He can get out of the pocket. He can make the big plays off script. When he's not, it's a tough watch. And he turns the ball over just a little bit too frequently for me. But all the tools are in his toolbox. He's not missing anything. We just got to find a coaching staff that can mold him. And Mike Vrabel, he seems to be up for the job.
You know, I think the biggest concern with him is he eats brown bananas
and mayo absolutely. And coffee. Eating the peel on the banana and putting mayo and coffee takes you off my draft board immediately. But Mike Vrabel, I think he's a sick freak. He's into that sort of thing.
He's not playing with full 52 deck. I know that. you summed up everything perfectly on Will Levis. I didn't trade the pick because I didn't know what a mock trade would look like. I'm going to be honest. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have Arizona. This is if Arizona just keeps the pick. But I could definitely see them trading it.
More likely, to be honest.
Is it?
I would say so.
Because I was looking through all the mock drafts the past couple days. Everyone's mocking it now that Tennessee trades up. Now, that's why I texted you. I'm like, is Tennessee really trading for the number 3 pick? Because it just seemed like, oh, yeah, they're getting a deal done, unlike the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. But I went Arizona. I haven't taken Will Anderson, edge rusher from Bama. I think, you know, Kyler Murray, I think he's going to be back midway through. I think there's still talent on the offensive side for this team. They still have Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, James Conner still there. He didn't have a great season last year, but the year before that, he looked phenomenal. Anderson arrives on this team. They lose J.J. Watt and Zach Allen, who they accounted for half of the sacks for the team last year, so that's already they're in the hole. They need help everywhere on the defensive side, but I think a player like Will Anderson is kind of like the cornerstone for this defense. So I think it makes perfect sense for Arizona at number 3, if they keep it.
Will Anderson is one of the most outstanding defensive ends in the SEC, or he was. 51 tackles last year, Tommy, 17 tackles for loss and 10 sacks. I mean, he was ridiculous. Elite athleticism, great gap discipline. I mean, the kid doesn't get beat. He's very disciplined, and he stays on his assignments. And he's a menace in pursuit. Just a player comp. I had DeMarcus Ware, which is crazy. I hate putting Hall of Famers on player comps, but I mean, he's like stand-up edge rusher. He's prototypical. Really the only thing that I found concerning on all the breakdowns I watched from him is, you know, the hand usage is a little subpar and doesn't really have a go-to pass rush move yet. He's kind of overpowering people in college, but, I mean, when you're a freak of nature like he is, I mean, you can kind of do that. But, yeah, I love that pick. You know, if they stay there, I think that's the pick you have to make. I know people like Wilson a lot and Jalen Carter, you know, We'll get to him in a bit. But Will Anderson, to me, is one of the safest picks in this draft. I think he's going to be a very productive player. It's whether he reaches his ceiling or not. I think he has the safest floor in this draft, though.
I think for him, it's like, what you see is what you get, kind of. You know what I mean? We'll go to Indy now, number four. Who you got for that one?
Well, like I said, if I was Tennessee, I'd take Anthony Richardson at three. If I was jumping Indy, they didn't. So Indianapolis and Shane Steichen, they get Cam Newton with none of the polish, Cam Newton with none of the accolades. They get Anthony Richardson, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,500 yards, and a 130.9 rating. Tommy, it's a simple breakdown. Simple. You've got a couple things he can do. He can run very fast. Athletic freak. One of, if not the most athletic quarterback we've ever seen tested at the combine. Two, rocky for an arm. He could throw a football through me and you, with us being in our respective states. Okay? That's how good his arm is. And three, well, he's got the highest ceiling of any player in this draft. If he hits his ceiling, you have the next elite mobile quarterback, the next Jalen Hurts, the next Josh Allen. But he also has the lowest floor. This kid could be out of the NFL after his rookie contract. He is extremely raw. I mean, he is as green as they come. Inconsistent mechanics in his upper body. I don't mind. And all the people I've heard talk about him, they don't have big concerns with his lower body and his footwork so much. He does get a little bouncy, does kind of get happy feet, and I can throw his timing off. But his upper body mechanics, he'll drop his shoulders, he'll dip his hips. It's all kind of funky. But he has a rocky foreign arm, so if you clean that up, he's, you know, it's going to be magical. And he lacks touch and accuracy, much like Trey Lance did, which is something you can kind of work around. Again, his elite athleticism, this is not a guy that needs to complete 70% of his passes. Okay, he just doesn't. He doesn't have to. If he can get to 61%, 62-ish%, he's going to be fine. That with a low interception rate, he's going to be fine. There is not a better team equipped to get him to that ceiling than Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Steichen was just working with Jalen Hurts. He's worked with this type of quarterback. He's molded this type of quarterback. He's going to bring that offensive system in. We just saw what Jalen Hurts did in that system. Anthony Richardson fits perfect there. This is the spot for him to go.
I mean, we've been talking about Anthony Richardson for weeks now. The guy is a freak. It's just whether he can hit that ceiling or not and whether he stays on the course and gets the right coaching system behind him. I was going to go Richardson 4, but with the Colts' history at QB, I think they might go with a safer pick. And I'm going Will Levis. I think Will Levis would be next off the board here. They get the young quarterback, which I think with them, he can start immediately. You know, Anthony Richardson, you kind of have to work with. I think with them, Levis, he's right in there. You don't have to worry about another veteran quarterback option and not panning out. You know, they lost the bidding war for the first and third overall picks now. I think he's got the starting potential. He worked the pro offense at Kentucky. He can be a dual threat quarterback, I think, as well. And he also has a high ceiling. Either way, I like Richardson or Levis here. I just think Levis, it's just a higher floor, and that's what's going to have them draft him over Richardson.
I agree, and I think we talked about this a week ago. I like everything about Will Levis more with Anthony Richardson. Maybe not the floor. Will Levis is definitely a little bit more polished because he has more experience.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Anthony Richardson didn't start a whole lot of games in college. But everything physically, the traits, everything else, Anthony Richardson has it all. So I do agree that the floor on Levis is definitely a little bit higher, but I think Anthony Richardson, like we said, he has the highest ceiling in this draft class.
We'll go to 5 here. You want to start this one off or me?
I like your pick. Who you have 5?
So 5, I have Seattle taking Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. There's been a lot of controversy with Carter. We won't get into that just because there's a lot there. But I think, you know, with all that, he can still be a top 10 pick. He fits like a glove in the Seattle defense. You know, they let up the third most rushing yards in the league last season. He fits perfectly right in there at defensive tackle. Plugging him in there, that's an immediate upgrade for Seattle. And they can still compete in for a playoff spot, I think.
I love that. Just to give the people at home just a little bit more on Jalen Carter, 32 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. Incredible power. He moves mountains. Like, if you told me he benched semi-trucks, I would believe you. People his size should not move as fast as he does. You look at his tape, he moves like he's about 150 pounds lighter, which is crazy. And excellent hand usage. His real only concern is, like you said, the off-character or off-the-field character issues. And, like, I guess, like, the defensive line was so loaded at Georgia, he doesn't have a lot of, like, production on tape, but you really can't hold that against him. When the guy's on the field, he's insane. I do have him falling a little bit in my draft, but at 5, I have the Seattle Seahawks adding Will Anderson, who, like we said, we've already talked about him. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
But he can be an elite edge guy, and I think rebuilding that Seattle defense, adding more to it, we saw they kind of hit on their corners, and the secondary's kind of shored up, and they still need some help back there, but not much. You need an edge or you need an interior guy. They can go wrong with neither of those picks, but I like Will Anderson for them. I just have Jalen Carter sliding a little bit as well.
Either way, that front seven's getting an amazing defensive guy, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
It's not quite the Legion of Boom there in Seattle again, but it can be a pretty good defense as long as everyone stays healthy and the young guys pan out. We'll go 6, Detroit. We have the same one here, so I'll let you take it away.
This is my lock. Now, I actually had a different player here up until like 2 days ago, but Detroit traded Jeff Okuda to Atlanta. This is my lock. If I had to pick a player to go to a team, 100%, it'd be this one. Devin Witherspoon. This is maybe my favorite player comp that I made. I love the Doctor Strange for Bryce Young. I was in my bag. This one, Devin Witherspoon is the Energizer Bunny in Jair Alexander's body with Cam Chancellor's anger issues. Okay? That's wordy, but when you really break it down, this kid is he's a dynamite stick. He flies all over the field. He hits extremely hard for a corner. He hits like he's a safety. His only issue is a little undersized, but 41 tackles. He had 3 interceptions, 14 pass breakups for Illinois. When you look at the tape, it's a miracle anyone completed a pass against them. He is all over the field. He's a tone setter. He plays with infectious energy. He plays with the most energy in this entire draft class. He's nonstop on the field. And he's a very good man corner as is. His only issue is, with that energy, with that excitement, with all that he plays with, he can overrun plays. He's always looking to make the big play. So he does have to kind of reel that in a little bit. You know, with a small frame, he might get bullied a little bit at the NFL level. But I think he would be the number one for Detroit, and he can be elite. I love this pick to Detroit. I love the fit. I love everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he hit everything on the head. He's great in man coverage. He's got excellent ball skills. He can be an immediate person on this Detroit defense now, I think, with Okuda gone. I had Detroit taking an edge rusher or someone up front in the front seven at first, and then I saw this trade, and I was like, this is probably making more sense now. And if he can't win a starting quarterback job the first year, he can go to special teams and make an impact there.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy he's going to – whatever role he decides to fit in, he's going to make an impact for sure.
And before we get to the next pick, we got some breaking news, Jordan. The Washington Commanders agree to a $6 million bid from the ownership group, including Magic Johnson. They're nearing a deal right now to buy the Commanders. It came earlier than expected.
Well, that is fantastic Lamar Jackson, news.
You are Washington Commander.
Fantastic news for the Commanders fans. The nightmare is over, and I can't wait to hear some of the horror stories that come out of that building.
Oh, it's
even more than we've already heard.
Yeah, it's going to be a doozy, I'll tell you that. We'll get back on track here. Number seven, the Las Vegas Raiders. Who you got taken there?
Well, I had Christian Gonzalez going to Detroit, and I, you know, I said 100% lock on Devin Witherspoon. I think it's 100% lock on either of these guys, to be honest, because if they prefer Christian Gonzalez over Devin Witherspoon, I can't blame them. This kid right here, swag. Swag. He plays with unlimited confidence. You would think that that kid is a six-time Super Bowl champion with the way he steps on the field. Great length, spectacular athlete, very solid coverage skills as is. He's going to be an immediate impact contributor. Only thing is, he only has 1 year of production on tape, really. And he's really aggressive when getting covered, and he can kind of get grabby in coverage. When he starts to get beat, his instinct is to grab and keep him in front of him, which is fine. That's going to get penalized. That's something you got to kind of figure out. But 50 tackles, 4 interceptions, 7 pass breakups last year at Oregon. Fantastic corner. I think his personality and his swagger fits Vegas really well. And his player comp for me was AJ Terrell, who we've seen in Atlanta make a name for himself. So if Detroit went with him over Witherspoon, I couldn't blame him, but I think he'll go to Vegas, and I think he'll have a great career.
Now, it makes sense for Vegas to take a corner, too, because their secondary is atrocious. It always yes. feels like they're terrible. For me, though, I had this feeling Vegas is going to take Anthony Richardson if he's still on the board. You know, we talked about everything about Anthony Richardson. Vegas really liked him in the interview. You know, he interviewed very well there for him. And I think, you know, they signed Jimmy G. He can learn behind Jimmy G and Josh McDaniels. They both have good track records as offensive guys. Josh McDaniels, not so much as a head coach, but more so as an offensive coordinator. I think you let him sit behind him for a couple years, and then I think that's going to help him learn the playbook a little bit more, get some of those kinks in his system out. And I could see Vegas doing it because, you know, it's going to bring in money with a player like Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I would hate that spot for Anthony.
No, I know.
But it makes sense. Yeah. I like it. Just because it makes sense. But you know how I feel about Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be said.
Yeah. We'll go to number eight though, Atlanta. Who you got going number eight to the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, you know, he stays in Georgia. Tom stays. He had to fly back. He was getting we thought he was going to end up in prison. He's not in prison. He's staying in Atlanta, though. Jalen Carter going from UGA to Atlanta to the Falcons to the Dirty Birds of the South. Like I said, I had him sliding just a little bit. Atlanta, I could see them going a couple different routes. A name you won't hear in either of our mock drafts is Bijan Robinson. Tommy, I was extremely tempted to put Bijan here.
Makes sense.
Extremely tempted. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But Jalen Carter, I've talked about his stats and just how incredibly powerful he is. My player comp for him was Fletcher Cox, which is extremely high. But he's kind of like Will Anderson. What you see is what you're going to get. I don't know how his mental is right now with all the issues, you know, that have been surrounding him a little bit. Maybe he's going to be off his game for a bit. But once he gets into the groove of things, he's an instant impact player. He can be a superstar interior guy, and he can change that Atlanta defense.
I like the pick. You know, if he was on my board still, I would have him go to Atlanta. I will say that. I have here, though, Tyree Wilson, edge rusher from Texas Tech. I think he's going here to Atlanta since Carter and Anderson are off the board. You know, since 2018, the Falcons have not finished top 10 in sacks once, and they finished last and second to last the past two seasons. Wilson has an outstanding ceiling as a pass rusher. He can play edge and reduce the inside. He's physically dominating as a defender, and he makes immediate impact for that Atlanta defense, which they desperately need. This front seven for the defense has been awful for years.
I have him going a little bit later, but I love that pick for Atlanta. I have him player comp as a supercharge to Davion Clowney. I think that's maybe the most spot-on one I have. He's right now he's not the edge rusher that they need.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. He's a little raw, but he's a great run defender right now. He can come in and help any NFL team in the league, any team, stop the run, and he'll be one of the best on their roster at it. And he definitely has that upside. He has the upside to be the best edge in this class. I'll tell you a little bit more when I get to him on my pick, but yeah, I like that pick a lot for Tyree Wilson, the fit, everything. That was a really good pick.
Yeah, and you know what? These first three, or honestly, I think you had five defensive players off the board, right? Five
something
or like that. Five. These first defensive guys, I think, all can make immediate impact in the league. Like, they all have some – they're very skilled. They have the talent. I think it's just the system they go to and how they can work out some of the kinks. And then number nine, I believe we have the same pick for Chicago, Paris Johnson Jr.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Paris Johnson Jr. is a freak. Only one sack and seven pressures allowed last year. He's Laramie Tunsil before the gas mask. Laramie Tunsil, he was 101 in his class before before that happened. That's what I feel with Paris Johnson. There's no flaws on this guy's character. The work ethic is outstanding. What he put on tape is outstanding. He goes to Chicago. A lot of people are going to clamor for JSN here, or for maybe even Bijan, or for an offensive weapon for Justin Fields, but an offensive lineman is better than anything else you can give him. He needs one desperately. I like their interior. I've kind of banged the drum for Chicago, saying their offensive line isn't as bad as people think. The tackles I don't think are good, but I think the interior is kind of, it's interesting, and I think if they get Paris Johnson, it kind of shores things up. He's going to be a great day one starter. Great experience. There's a lot of starting experience at Ohio State. Great athleticism and anticipation. Very smooth footwork. He's going to be a really good tackle. Only thing is, he can kind of let defenders into his frame a little bit, and quick guys kind of give him some trouble, and he can let them inside. He doesn't, doesn't have that initial punch off the snap. He'll get that. He'll adjust to the NFL, but that's just my only concern with him right now. But I think he would step up their offensive line just amazingly.
Yeah, I mean, and this is desperately needed. Justin Fields was the most sacked QB in the league. He had 55 just last year. And then Johnson can help stop this. I mean, you need at least one tackle. They kind of missed out on Orlando Brown. We thought that was going to be the big deal. But, Johnson, he's got 36-inch arms. That's the biggest in the draft. That's 4 inches longer than Northwestern's Peter Skornitsky. That's a massive amount, all right? That's a massive amount difference between them, at least for offensive tackles. I think for the Bears, it's whether if it's left tackle or right tackle for them. I think that's the only concern with this pick. Number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles. They get this pick from the Saints in a trade last year. I'll let you go first for this one.
I love your pick, so I can't wait to hear about it, because I'm going to be honest, I had him mocked here, but I thought it was too high.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing a lot of commotion around him going here, potentially. But I have Lucas Van Ness coming off the board here, edge from Iowa. It seems like all Iowa guys, you never see a star come out of there. Like, it seems like every time you see an Iowa guy get drafted high, it's like, oh, this guy was a rotational piece. He didn't get a lot of playing time. But he's got great athleticism.
Gritty, in the trenches.
That's what Van Ness is. And I think, thinking back all the times I've heard that, maybe they should just start playing these guys more.
Yeah.
I will win more football games. So that's a concern. He is raw, rotational player at Iowa. Breakdowns that I've watched of him and watched a little film that I have. Again, I say I watch film. I do watch film on these guys. It's not a lot. But the breakdowns I've watched of Van Ness, he doesn't show consistently. He's more of a flash player, which kind of is to be expected from a rotational guy. He's not out there consistently. But he's a Swiss Army knife. I think he can be really good in the interior. I think he can be really good edge. 36 tackles, 10.5 tackles for loss, and 6 sacks. That's coming as a rotational guy, right? He wasn't out there every day.
Yeah.
Player comp to Trey Hendrickson, I think it's perfect, 1-of-1. Prototypical frame, versatility, like I just said. Great burst out of his stance, and he's very projectable. I can see this guy being an amazing edge rusher. I can see him being a very effective rotational edge guy that gets, you know, paid to, I mean, I think he can add, I think his NFL career goes one of two ways. He's either going to be that guy that plays on four or five different teams, always a very good edge rusher, and is, you know, just a really good rotational edge rusher, or he's a superstar. And I think that's a perfect pick at 10 for Philadelphia. They don't have a ton of holes. He can sit behind Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, all these, you know, talented veterans, learn from them. And if he hits a ceiling, like I said, they have a great edge rusher. If he doesn't, I think he's going to be a very solid NFL player still.
I honestly was going to go with the same pick here for Philly. My thing was, I feel like, you know, the front seven, they did lose a little bit. But like we said last episode, they drafted some players before that last draft to kind of like counterbalance that.
Yeah.
Their safety help, I will say, it kind of it got weak after this free agency. You know, they lost Epps and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which I think is why they go Brian Branch, safety Alabama, just because it makes the secondary a little bit more versatile. You know, he is a safety, but I think he could play corner if need be. He's probably the best safety in college football from Bama. He allowed a 69.3 passer rating last season. It's valuable versatility for the Eagles who want to make another run into February football. I think it just makes the most sense with Howie's track record, too. You know, he likes adding in some depth for positions at the draft.
I couldn't agree more. I don't have him going in these first 16 picks for me. But they love Avante Maddox. He was kind of their slot guy, and they value that slot corner position a lot, and they also value versatility, like you just said. And I think Brian Branch is – he fits the bill perfectly there. Love him as a prospect. I just thought 10 was too high. But
It's high for a safety, I will say.
I was going back and forth about putting him there for sure. Yeah, I love that pick.
We'll go 11 now. I'll start off 11 because I kept it the same. So for me, this is going to be Tennessee. For you, it's going to be Arizona, right?
Yep.
So this was honestly the hardest pick for me, this whole mock draft for 1 through 16, just because Tennessee's got a lot of holes, I feel like. This pick can go in a lot of ways. They could trade up to get a quarterback. They could go receiver. If they wanted to put next to Treylon Burks, you know, the receiver room's not that great anymore. I went defense for this one. I was going to go corner, but I was like, they kind of have some corner depth now. I went Nolan Smith, Ed Rusher from Georgia. You know, they get uber athletic guy in Smith. He did really good at the combine this year. He's going to make an immediate impact on the defensive front in the rush and pass game. But I think what's important is this is a year for him to develop. He can boost up his pass skills a little bit, and they can still kind of, I don't want to say tank for next year, but we've been saying they need a stinky rebuild.
Yes.
With this pick, they're getting a great player potentially this year and a great pick next year.
He only played 8 games. He had 18 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. Nolan Smith, I love the pick there. Nonstop motor. Agile and bendy off the edge. He's very fluid as an athlete. Great athleticism. Flashes on film consistently, always making an impact, always showing on film for Georgia. Only thing is, he is a little undersized, and I think that right now he's raw as a pass rusher. He got away with a lot of it with the stacked front that he played with at Georgia. He just kind of ran by people sometimes. I think longer tackles are going to give him trouble. I think he's going to have to learn to use some moves and use variety of moves to get to the quarterback consistently, which I think he can do for sure. Versatile, I think he'll be good against the run as well. I think he's a great value to Hassan Reddick. I think you add him with Harold Landry, you know, kind of tank this year. I think they could have a great edge combo right there. He is coming off a season-ending pec injury, so hopefully he's all healed up from that. But I could definitely see Tennessee benefiting from that pick because I do think it is kind of I think he's going to have to step into the NFL just like Lucas Van Ness, I think, and it's going to be the first year is going to be kind of a build year for them. Yeah. It's going to be a get used, which I guess it is for all rookies, but specifically for them, they're going to have to kind of adjust and develop a little bit even more than they had to develop from college. And they may not see the field consistently, right? But I do love that pick. 11 for me is Arizona. I have them taking Tyree Wilson. I think that this is a dream scenario for Arizona. You move back, and you still get your pick of edge rusher here. Tyree Wilson, 61 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 7 sacks. Like I said, Jadeveon Clowney, I think he's a great run defender right now. Quick first step, has a really good motor. He's never lazy on his plays. Very lengthy. He's got disruptive length with very strong hands. Only concerns right now, kind of a tweener. We don't know if he's really an edge or if kind of an interior guy. Very raw as a pass rusher. You know, got away with just out-muscling people and being stronger and longer and faster, which I guess a lot of these edge rushers in college do. Got to polish up a little bit. And I don't think he has true elite talent as an edge. I think he's going to be a Jadeveon Clowney type, which is not bad. I think he can be better than Jadeveon Clowney. I just don't know if he'll ever be the 15, 16 sack Myles Garrett that maybe they're looking for. I think he can be a very solid edge, though. But it may just not be that superstar that they're looking for.
I will say, Arizona, they're in a good spot if they do trade back or if they keep the 3 pick. They kind of get the needs still on the defensive side. If they trade back, they get more draft picks that, honestly, those first 3 picks, I might just go all defense if I'm Arizona. But
yeah,
I love the pick right there. That was, either way, you can't go wrong. And then number 12, Houston's on the board again. We have the same one for this one, sadly, just because I kind of wish this guy would fall a little bit more. But I'll have you take it away.
I won't lie. This is the dream pick for me. This is kind of why I had Bryce Young go 1, so that this could happen. I had C.J. Stroud going 2, Houston back on the board. D'Amico Ryans resist the urge to add an elite edge rusher and at 2. And does, you know, he takes his quarterback. So at 12, what makes the most sense? Pair him with his guy, with a guy that he played with in college, Jackson Smith and Njigba, clear wide receiver 1 in this class. Best route runner in the class, hands down. It's not close. Turn the film on. It's not close. Great yards after catch ability. Consistently makes people miss. Competitive at the catch point. And he's going to get open against zone in the NFL immediately.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal against zone. It's like watching a master. He knows where the soft spots are. He will sit in them. He will wait for the ball to be delivered. But he's also really good at adding wiggle to his routes against man and flattening himself out and getting himself open. Only thing is, he won't really wow you athletically. He's not a guy that's going to burn people. And he played almost exclusively in the slot at OSU. Again, he had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave playing the outsides, right? So Chris Olave, one of the best deep ball guys now in the NFL. Garrett Wilson's being, you know, compared to Ja'Marr Chase. It's kind of hard as a freshman, sophomore, to take outside snaps from that.
Yeah.
But you know who was also pretty much an exclusively slot guy right now in the NFL coming out of college? Justin Jefferson. I think he turned out fine. My comp was Jeremy Maclin meets Amon-Ra. I had a lot of flack for this. People said, Jeremy Maclin, that's a name I haven't heard in years.
He's a beast.
Watch him. Jeremy Maclin was very bouncy with his routes. Like, he was really, like, jittery. Like, it seemed like he was always hyped up on caffeine. Same thing with JSN. But I think he's an Amon-Ra type where he's going to be kind of that yak possession guy. I think he fits that role. If you wanted to go kind of a cleaner comp, maybe a Julian Edelman type.
Great guy. Great pick.
2022 stats aren't great. You know, he got injured. He missed time with that hamstring. I think he's given himself time to heal up. But 2021, with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, mind you, 96 catches, 1,606 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And we saw what he did at the Rose Bowl against Utah. Again, they didn't have a lot of corners. Sure, they had a converted running back covering him. I don't care. He put up, you know, over 340 yards, something crazy. The production's there. The talent is there. He shows it. Very simple pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the tools to be wide receiver 1. They need one now with Brandon Cooks being traded away. He's quick, great route runner, like you said, has good hands. And it just fits in with that future plan. You get him with C.J. Stroud. You got JSN, and you got John Metchie as well on the other side. Oh, my God. I mean, you couldn't set up C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young any better, I feel like, with that future. It's just – it's amazing. We'll go – I think we had the same pick for 13, I believe, too, for the Jets.
We did. We had the same pick for 13 and 14.
Yes, we did. I'll let you – you want to take away 13?
No, I'll do 14.
Okay. We went for 13, New York Jets, Peter Skowronski, offensive tackle, Northwestern. Listen, the Jets proved that they are a quarterback away from making a run in the playoffs. That defense was legit. The only reason they were held back was Zach Wilson. They need to bring in some offensive help on the line if they do get Aaron Rodgers. They still hold the picks after this if they do a trade, I believe. So you need some help on the front end. Mekhi Becton. Likely going to slide into left tackle, I think. And I think this guy could go in at guard just because he's kind of a tweener right now at tackle. He's one of the most fundamentally sound offensive tackles in the class. And I just think if you kick him inside the left guard, it's going to help the run game too with Breece Hall. I think it just makes a little bit more sense for me.
Yeah, I have him player comped as a more refined and talented Jonah Williams. 31 games as a starter in college. I think he's the most polished offensive lineman. I think it's between him and Paris Johnson for sure. Excellent pass protector, great footwork, very quick. Like you said, very fundamentally sound, probably the most fundamentally sound at most positions that he plays. I'm glad that you brought up the tweener concerns. That's why he's going 13 here. If those concerns weren't there, I would have him 9. I might even have him higher. I think, you know, the length and that will kind of get him pushed down to the Jets. But I think it's a perfect spot. If he can't play tackle, which I think he's going to be fine, I think you should keep him at tackle. He showed it at Northwestern. I think he'll be fine there. But if he can't truly and you have to kick him to guard, he's still going to be a great guard. Great pick for the Jets. I think it would be a dream pick for them. Unless one of these edge falls, you know, yeah. If edge falls to 13, they would be very happy with that too.
Robert Saleh would definitely be happy with that. You know, he's already added to that defensive line. I'll have you take away 14 now, sir. New England Patriots, number 14.
A little birdie on Twitter was saying that Zay Flowers had a meeting with Bill O'Brien, and it gave him kind of a mock playbook and stayed overnight with him, and they discussed offense. Mm-hmm. And, well, I'll be honest. I've heard that there's only one wide receiver with a round one grade. But teams that need weapons generally will overpay for weapons, even if they don't necessarily think this is a round one guy. I'll agree with most scouts. I do think that JSN is probably the guy to take in the first round. But this is my draft crush, I'll be honest. I love Zay Flowers. Go watch the tape. He had terrible quarterback play. I mean, horrendous quarterback play. The guy still put up 78 catches, 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 13 yards per reception. It's incredible he got to those numbers with how bad the quarterback play was at Boston College. New England needs a wide receiver one. I don't know if Zay Flowers can be that guy. I know he can be electric, though. Small frame, drops are kind of a concern. He doesn't have the best hands. And like I said, small frame will get bullied a little bit. But Tommy, everything else about him, twitchy and fluid. He's very sudden off the line. Great balance, has great feet. Savvy route runner. He's not a JSN, but he's very savvy, explosive in short area, just like JSN. They have really good three cone times, and he's really good short area quickness. I think he'll be a good yak guy as well. And if you squint, if you really squint, and just use your imagination a little bit.
Oh, I will. I'm imagining it right now.
You can see Antonio Brown.
Just oh, God, a little, baby.
I'm not saying he's Antonio Brown. I'm just saying
business is booming.
I can see it a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just the on-field production you see? That's the only similarity, not off-field, right?
Yeah. I think he has a good head on his shoulders. Good. Just don't let him get hit by Burfeet.
Good. I mean, you summed it up perfectly. I felt like I just really want JSN to slide to 14, but I don't think it will happen. Just because of how great JSN is. He's Flowers, I wouldn't be sad if they drafted him, though, Flowers. You know, he's very dynamic, like we said. He can win before the catch, easy separation in space, but he's got that small frame, so you don't know how it's going to end up in the NFL. And he's very shifty and explosive, so I think it'd fit right in New England because they kind of missed that. I honestly, you know, New England could go defense on this pick as well.
And again, I'm going to be honest. I only had a couple prediction picks. This is what I would do. If I'm New England, I'll overpay for a weapon because.
Makes sense.
You know, round one grade, sure. Zay Flowers, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, maybe all of them go round two. Doubtful. Maybe they all do. New England might not be in a spot to get any of them, or they might not be in a spot to get their guy. We know that the top of this draft is going to be very edge heavy, very, you know, in the trenches. Take your guy here and, you know, pick up the other pieces later in the draft instead of doing the opposite. Because it's usually the opposite for New England, and it hasn't paid off in forever.
It's not. And I thought they were going to go corner for a while, but I think, you know, they re-signed all their corners in the secondary. So I think in the first round it doesn't make sense for them. It was also rumored they go tackle. They kind of signed some tackles in free agency, so I think it just makes more sense to get that wide receiver you need now. Number 15, Green Bay. I'll have you go first because this guy is exciting. Who you got?
I had Nolan Smith mocked here because Green Bay loves to take Georgia defensive players, but this pick is a no-brainer to me. This is the easiest pick any team in the first round will have. Green Bay. You're going from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. He needs a security blanket. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs aren't proven talents by any means. Now, you think they're going to be the outside guys. You're going with that. That's fine. I agree. You know, you should go with it. Christian Watson has the talent to be really good. Romeo Doubs can be that good in-between guy. You need a tight end who can block, who can go out, run routes for you via safety blanket. People will bang the table for Dalton Kincaid here. I don't think they're wrong. I think he's the most athletically gifted tight end in this class. But I'm going to go with the guy that's been the nation's best tight end. I mean, Brock Bowers is now, but, you know, one or two, and is very talented and is proven in college, comes from a great university. Michael Mayer, tight end from Notre Dame, from Tight End U, 71 receptions, 840 yards, 7 touchdowns, 11.8 yards per reception. Not overly athletic. He's not going to wow you. He's not a great route runner. He's a good route runner. He may struggle to get separation at the next level even. He's a tank, though. He's an absolute tank. Very sure hands. Maybe the best red zone threat in this class. Great blocker. Really good at sealing the edge, getting out in space and blocking, being impactful. And he will be a impactful player in the run game as a blocker and in the pass game as a security blanket for Jordan Love immediately. Jason Witten is the best comp I got for him. People, you know, they're going to say, well, it's Jason Witten. Jason Witten was very good in his career. Very sure. Yes. So I think this is a no-brainer pick.
You know, it makes a lot of sense for Green Bay to get an offensive weapon for their quarterback.
Yes.
But they don't do that the first round.
They do not. They never, never,
so
never.
I'm with you. That makes the most sense. But for me, what I think Green Bay is going to do for this one, I think they're going to go offensive tackle. I think they're going to go Broderick Jones, tackle from Georgia. They have, like you said, they have more needs at tight end, outside linebacker. But I think the depth of the draft works in their favor. They get a second rounder if they do trade Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. They have Bakhtiari and Neiman at tackle in 2023. But 24, they're kind of on the cuffs of losing at least Bakhtiari. You know, he's got exploding cap number, and he's a free agency. I think when you have Jones here, you kind of have him learn under those tackles, season him up a little bit, and use those skills and physical talent that he has in college and make him into an NFL-ready tackle. And I think he can be a premier tackle in this league. Gives some blindside protection for Jordan Love. It's still probably not the best pick for him, but I think it's the pick that they're going to do based off their track record.
Next episode, Roger Jones will be called very early in my mock. He's kind of a freak, built very freakishly. He's a large human being. It makes sense for them to go tackle or Nolan Smith here even. You know, he's on the board still in my mock. It's just like, let's take the single instead of trying to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Michael Mayer, maybe he's not Dalton Kincaid, who, you know, people are mocking and player comping to Travis Kelce. Sure, maybe he's not that. Let's take the single and get a sure thing. We know what he's going to be. He'll be a very good blocker. He's going to be he got great hands, good in the red zone. Take the single. He might even be a double. Take the double. To 16, we have the same pick here.
Yeah.
Second generation star here. Joey Porter Jr. 27 tackles, 11 pass breakups for the kid. Washington Commanders, who are just now sold.
To Magic
breaking
Johnson.
News.
Hee-hee!
Tommy Tallarino broke that news. He needs to get credit on Twitter. He didn't read the report. He got that out of his mind.
I saw a vision.
Yes.
I was on the phone with Shane.
He's connected to Dan Snyder.
Now you got too much dip on your chip now.
They take Joey Porter Jr. here. Vines for arms. He's like Elastigirl out there. It's crazy. Uses his size and length out muscle wide receivers. He's a good tackler. Great ball skills. I mean, he will knock everything down if you are within the vicinity of him as a receiver. Only thing is, he's very grabby in coverage, very aggressive. His dad was a linebacker, so that does make sense. Only one interception in his college career at Penn State. And he's not really good at trailing receivers in terms of using his athleticism. Now, when he gets close to them, they're probably not catching the ball. But sometimes he can get burned. He's a little stiff opening up and trying to trail. I think he's Marlon Humphrey-like. I think he's going to be a really good player. They need that link. They need that shutdown corner in Washington really bad. They signed St. Juice or drafted him, last year or 2 years ago. He hasn't really turned out to be much. He's an okay corner. I think Joey Porter Jr. gives him that upside to be an elite lockdown corner.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this guy's got vine for arms. He was shut down kind of at Penn State, at least last season. Commanders, they lack playmaking defenders on the outside. Like you said, they don't have a true number one at corner. And when you have A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks all in your division, I mean, you need someone. Giants don't really have a premier receiver yet, but I'm sure they will end up getting one maybe through the draft, or who knows, maybe they do find a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. So you add another one, that's six or five guys right there. And if they want to contend in the NFC East, they need some quarterback help, so it just makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
And just like that, we're done 1 through 16. Honestly, I thought it was going to take a little bit more time. I mean, we got our in-depth review on all these guys. We gave some positives on each one. We showed the negatives. Now, honestly, I think if we were put in the situation on draft day, we would have killed it with all these picks. We would have helped every single team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hit my line, any team, if you need scouting reports or anything, I got you. I can do that for you. For free. I just need a shout out on Twitter.
Okay.
I want a Twitter follow. That's all I want.
One call away. That's what you're saying?
Yes, one call away.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Anything else you want to add for this episode?
Nah, next week it'll be 17 through 31, not 32. Miami doesn't have a pick because they wanted Tom Brady.
They are trashy.
It was Sean Payton. It was Sean Payton.
It was probably Tom Brady, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was both of them.
It, honestly, it could have been, like, any free agent or, like, anyone they ever wanted. I mean, it's like that. Honestly, that happens all around the NFL, I think. Miami just got caught.
Yeah. They're not secretive enough. Yeah. They don't have
a
pick.
They tried to tank, and Brian Flores says, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to do my job. And they said, oh, well, you're fired. And the NFL is like, you can't really do that. So, but yeah, 17 through 31, we're not doing the second round, right?
No.
Yeah, we're going to do one, just the first round. It's going to be another exciting episode. It's an exciting time in the NFL. You know, you get a couple weeks after the Super Bowl, kind of downtime, and then you get free agency period, and then you get draft period. You know, it's very exciting. But
weeks after the draft, it'll be rookie OTAs, yeah. And, you know, training camp buzz will start, and then it'll be dead during the summer for a little bit. Then training camp will start, then the preseason will start, and then the season will be here.
That's right. It's gonna fly by. Oh, I guarantee it. Soon it's gonna be August. Preseason's gonna start, and then it's gonna be your fantasy football draft, and then it's opening night. So it's gonna be a great time. But that's gonna do it for us today. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Armchair GMs. We hope you guys enjoyed.
Peace.